will write this morning's scripture. It's found in Jeremiah 29:11. This is a pretty famous one. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And if you will kneel with me, we'll pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this Sabbath. Thank you for the life you give us and the opportunities that you give us. I pray that you will forgive us for stepping out ahead of you, for sinning against you. And we thank you for the gift of your Son that's given us the opportunity to ask for forgiveness and still have a path to salvation with you. Father, I thank you for the gift of song and the gift of praise as well, that we today ask you to join us, and may your angels lend their voices to our praise of you today. May we be lifted up. May we again find that hope so great that it spills out and is shared to others around us. I thank you again for being with us, for thinking of us. And I pray that we'll be blessed by your nearness. And again, I thank you for the gift of your Son. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Pastor, this is not a sermon today. This is going to be more of a testimony. As Rod read in Jeremiah 11:29, the Lord has thoughts about us. And those thoughts are of peace, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. Last Sabbath, Pastor John led us in a concert of prayer. And so this morning I'm going to share some of the ways that the Lord has answered prayers for me during my life. And I hope that these will be an inspiration to you. My family moved in 1954 from Southern California to Wenatchee, Washington. Dad was working in construction, and one afternoon he needed to meet a plumber at his house, and so my brother and I went with him to the Squilchuck area south of Wenatchee. Being the middle of winter, we had lots of snow, and the ponds were frozen over. And while the two men were taking care of their business, the man's son suggested that we go play on the frozen pond. Well, he had a rope tied to his sled, and he was pulling me around on the sled, and before you know it, we got too close to where the spring fed into the pond, and I went through the ice. Well, I had to call my brother last week and say, "How'd you guys get me out of there?" And he said that the boy had told me to just hang on to the sled, and they both got me pulled out. They took me up to the house where his mom got all my wet clothes off and wrapped me in a blanket, had me sitting by the wood stove, and had all my clothes hanging nearby to get them dry. Well, the song that we're going to sing is entitled God Alone. When we were first introduced to this song, Russ found a Bible verse that he's put in the middle of it, Isaiah 43:2. Part of it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Well, I may not have been in waters of persecution, but I know that God was watching over me in that pond. Of 1962, my brother had been invited to fly from Seattle to Los Angeles, and we were going to spend the summer with family. We had a wonderful time visiting all our Pullen cousins and going to Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, and the beach. Vacation came to an end, like they always do, and Grandma made plans to drive us back up to Wenatchee. So we packed our luggage in the trunk, and my brother put pillows and blankets with him in the back seat, and we started our trip. The last thing I remember was stopping at the A&W in Goldendale, Washington, for lunch. I had the front seat completely reclined and was sleeping as we made the last of our trip. The next thing I knew, I was coming out of a week-long coma in a hospital. Our car's front tire had blown, and Grandma wasn't able to keep the car on the road. She had really tried and broke both wrists because of it. She also broke ribs from hitting up against the steering wheel. Well, I was thrown forward and hit my neck on the dashboard and broke my neck. No seat belts in those days. Nothing happened to James. Sitting in the back seat with the pillows and blankets, no injuries for him. Well, the doctors told my parents that I would have to stay in the hospital there in Toppenish for at least 6 weeks. And at the end of 6 weeks, then I would be transferred from the hospital to a hospital in Wenatchee, and I would either have to be on a gurney in an airplane or a car. Well, my parents got word to family and friends from five different churches, clear up in northern Washington, all the way down to Southern California, one of those churches being Grants Pass, because we had friends living there at the time. All those churches were praying for Grandma and me, and I know that it was because of those prayers that I was discharged after only 10 days. Not 6 weeks. The doctors told my parents that they were amazed at the progress I had made. I had had a neurosurgeon come from Seattle to do testing on me also. So I was taken in a wheelchair, not a gurney, to my parents' car, not an ambulance, and I sat in the front seat. Now, before discharge, my mom had to be trained how to get me in and out of bed from wearing a neck brace to get in bed, take the neck brace off, and put the traction on. And my dad had to build a framework on my bed to take care of that traction. About a week later, I was back in school with my seventh grade friends. Those answered prayers tell me that Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones do loves me.
Yes,
yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes,
yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He loves me.
Ray and I hadn't been dating for a very long time when he received his draft notice. It was 1965, and I started praying that he wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. Since we were in the middle of the war, it was likely that he would be sent there. And wouldn't you know it, he did receive orders to Vietnam, so I changed my prayers. Now I was praying that he would be kept safe and while he was overseas, and that he would be able to come home. Well, the Lord answered my prayers because he finished his tour of duty in 11 months. It was supposed to be a full 12, but he was out in 11 months, and he was discharged. We married 2.5 years later, and we're looking forward to that sweet by and by where there will be no more wars or separation. After 26 years of marriage, Ray and I decided that we had lived in Southern California long enough. We wanted to get back to the Pacific Northwest. And we chose Medford because it's about halfway between my family and Kimberly, my parents and Kimberly, in Yucaipa, and our family in Wenatchee. It wasn't long before we started talking about how can we get Mom and Dad moved up here. They were pretty much by themselves down there, and Dad had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and my mom was suffering from spinal stenosis. She was having a lot of trouble of getting around. So the four of us decided that we were going to buy a house together. Well, now came the challenge of finding something that would accommodate four adults. So Ray and I started driving around the neighborhoods of southwestern Medford, and I prayed about it, and I asked that the Lord would help us find the right house. Well, it didn't happen. Houses we looked at, the floor plans either wouldn't work out for us, or there would have to be too much remodeling done. And so I started getting a little bit anxious. You know, how are we going to get Mom and Dad moved up here if we didn't have a house for them? So my prayer changed again. And I prayed that if the Lord wanted the four of us to have a house together, then he would have to show us where that house was. So the next Sunday, Ray and I took our usual drive, but he went in a different direction. And as he turned down one street, my first thought was, we can't buy a house in this area. These properties cost too much. And about that time, I saw a for sale sign in front of a vacant house. And there was a ramp from the driveway to the back door. That would be perfect for Mom, who wasn't able to negotiate stairs. Stop, I said to Ray, we've got to look at that house. So we walked around the house, we looked in the windows, and we saw that it was a two-bedroom house with the garage remodeled into an apartment. This could work. We would have Mom and Dad in the house, and Ray and I could be in the apartment. There was room for all four of us. So after we talked to the realtor, and I did some more praying, we made an offer. When all the paperwork was done, we found out that the house had been listed 6 months before we saw it. The seller had lowered the price 3 times. And the last time that they lowered the price was the day before we made the offer. I truly believe the Lord had that house waiting for us. Well, our house isn't a mansion. But Ray and I are happy living there. Both my parents are gone now. But we are happy living there. What we are really looking forward to is a mansion over the hilltop where we will live for eternity.
Someday under, we will never more walk.
what a mansion, a heart and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old, we'll not grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old, we'll not grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold, but walk on streets that are pure.
Ray and I had finished eating our usual Tuesday breakfast, and as we did every day, Ray read from our devotional, and then I prayed. But something was wrong. A few of my words didn't come out straight, and Ray looked at me puzzled, and he said, "What's wrong? You didn't sound right." "I don't know, but let's get going. We've got things to do." Well, one of our cars was in the shop. Excuse me, I'm feeling dry. One of our cars was in the shop, and we needed to get it before I came here to the office. So I drove about a half mile down West Main when I started feeling tingling in my right thumb and finger. And so I pulled over into the Bi-Mart parking lot, and I said to Ray, "You've got to get me to the hospital. I think and I'm having a stroke." So within 45 minutes, I was admitted to Providence ER, and I was given the TPA shot to dissolve the blood clot in my brain. I was asked questions, you know, the usual questions that you ask you of what's your name, what's the date, what's your age. And I answered, 7, 7, 7. I was so sure I was right. Well, the quartet came and spent time with Ray in my room, supporting him, and I listened to their conversation, and I responded to it, "Amen, amen, amen." Oh, whew, no swear words. You know, sometimes people that have had a stroke, they don't have any control over what words come out. I had lost my speech, and I had weakness on the right side. I remember trying to figure out how to shape my mouth and my tongue so that I could answer the words. And sometimes Daisy would ask me something, and I would respond, and she'd get right up in my face, and she said, "I'm sorry, I can't understand you." Oh, it was so frustrating to me. Kimberly wishes now that she had been able to video while I was in ER. But she was so scared of what was happening right then that she didn't think about cameras. On Friday, the third day, my doctor discharged me from the hospital with no restrictions after telling me that he and the ER staff had not known when I was admitted that I was going to make it from this stroke. It was a major stroke. My church family, that's you, were praying for me. And the Lord answered. If the quartet knew the song, "Drinking from My Saucer," we could be singing that now because I know my cup has overflowed. I have been blessed in so many ways. We're going to sing In My Heart, There Rings a Melody.
Where does she come up with these songs?
I remember asking her as soon as I got the text that she was in the hospital. I went in there and I'd ask her questions and she was like, amen, amen, amen. I said, okay, let me ask you, amen, amen. And everything was 777. I said, those are good answers.
Jesus gave me, it was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, 'tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony.
After God says he will give us a future and a hope, he goes on and says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I want to surrender my will to him.
I surrender all. Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
So many times that you have answered my prayers during my lifetime. There may have been times that I wasn't praying, but you were there anyway. Father, be with us today as we leave this place. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, warm your heart.
that with everyone.